So, as you may have noticed, on Tuesday, I didn't drop a podcast episode, and there is a very good reason for that. I have four small children, and three of them didn't make it to school when I would have been recording. And with the coughing and the screaming and the insanity in my house, there was no way I was going to be able to record anything of substance. So I have put it to the back burner, and I'll do it over the Easter weekend. So no problem. It will still come to you. It's just going to come a little late. But what I have been doing is I have been filming like a little mini series of books with parental alienation in them, toxic characters, liars, that kind of thing, like the negative side of the bookish stuff. So what I was going to do was I'm going to piece together all of those pieces for you right now. I make it into one, like, it'll be a shorter video, obviously, but it'll be a fairly sizable thing for you to listen to. So it's kind of to a little bit make up for the fact that I didn't post anything this week. Now, it was a really interesting series. It's probably some of the more grittier work that I've done. There was some nonfiction and some fiction in there. So I really hope you enjoy this mini episode. So I just finished reading a really interesting book called Brainwashing Children by John T. Steinbeck. Now, it has a 4+ rating on Goodreads. So what is this book about? So it's a nonfiction self-help book about exposing the most common form of child abuse, the brainwashing of innocent children's minds, with one parent actively working to make the child despise the other parent. Now, this book will help you to learn how to recognize the early signs of parental alienation, understand the nature of parents willing to emotionally harm their own child, and use effective techniques and tools that will help you restore your relationship with your child. Now, it's a really helpful book for anyone who has gone through or is still going through parental alienation from their own children. Now, anyone who has lived through parental alienation knows just how devastating this can be, and not just for the alienated parent, but for the child as well. 32% of Canadian parents feel that they are being alienated to some degree from their child by the other parent. It's really quite tragic. Like, it's really tragic. So why is this happening? Now, it might be that the alienating parent might feel bitter and resentful about past relationships. They often blame others for their feelings, never take responsibility for their own failings. So it's always about shifting blame. This can include blaming the target parent or even the child itself. Now, these parents often come from troubled families. They may have had controlling or dysfunctional family backgrounds. This can make them more likely to alienate their children from their exes. Now, this is personal for me because we have felt the sting of this in our own family. And I decided to create a series of books on parental alienation and narcissistic toxic parents to help others start the journey of healing from the heartbreak, or arming them in what could potentially be a new battle in the courts, understanding now what's happening to them, because maybe you don't understand that this is parental alienation. Maybe this will help you. Now, this project is near and dear to my heart, like I said, and it's time to bring this form of child abuse out into the open. No child should ever have to choose between parents, because one parent can't get over themselves and put the child first. Children aren't possessions. If you don't know what the signs of parental alienation look like, I'm going to explain it to you right now. Now, signs by the alienated parent, and often the people in the inner circle of that parent. So, bad mouth in the target parent, withholding things like medical, academic, and other important information, referring to the target parent by their first name instead of mum or dad. That's a big one. Like, you don't talk to the child and call them by their name. Okay, you don't. Confiding in the child, that's none of their business. Telling the child that the target parent does not love them and they have abandoned them, even when all the court documents prove the other parent is actively trying to cut ties. Forcing the child to choose between parents. Telling the child that the target parent is dangerous. It's disgusting. This happens legit. Withdrawal of love, So the other parent stops loving the child to make them choose them. Interfering with communication, limiting contact. Now, we're lucky in Canada because we have Section 16, Part 3 of the Divorce Act. It enforces a parent to facilitate a healthy relationship with the non-custodial parent. And now we have Bill C-78, which means alienation can now be factored into custody and family courts. So please don't give up hope. Have you ever had to deal with a toxic ex while parenting? I'm going to be bringing you a lot more books this week, hopefully books that will help you to heal, help you to understand what's going on, or maybe bring you some clarity in how to take your next step in rebuilding your relationship with your child. In part one, we dealt with a book on parental alienation called Brainwashing Children by John T. Steinbeck. Now, this series is all about books focusing on things like parental alienation, toxic parents, and narcissistic fictional book characters. So, what book came next? I'm Glad My Mom Died by Jeanette McCurdy, and it's a memoir. Now, this is the epitome of a toxic, narcissistic mother and the devastating effects a parent like this has on a child and the eventual adult the child becomes. So what is this book about? Now, this book is a heartbreaking and hilarious memoir by iCarly and Sam and Cat star Jeanette McCurdy. It's all about her struggles as a former child actor, including things like having eating disorders, addiction, and a complicated relationship with her overbearing mother, and how she retook control of her life. Jeanette McCurdy was just 6 years old when she had her very first acting audition. Her mother's dream was for her daughter to become a star, and Jeanette would do anything, and I do mean anything, to make her mother happy. So she went along with what mom called calorie restriction. So basically eating very little and then weighing herself up to 5 times a day. She endured extensive at-home makeovers while her mother chided things like, your eyelashes are invisible, okay? You think Dakota Fanning doesn't tint hers? She was even showered by her mom until the age of 16 while having to share her diaries, her email, and all of the money she made from her acting. That's horrible, man, horrible. In I'm Glad My Mom Died, Jeanette recounts all this in unflinching detail, just as she chronicles what happened when the dream finally comes true. Now, she was cast in a new Nickelodeon series called iCarly, and she was literally thrust into fame and stardom. Though mom is ecstatic, she's emailing fan club moderators and getting on first name basis with the paparazzi, Jeanette is riddled with anxiety, shame, and severe self-loathing, which manifests itself into eating disorders, addiction, and a series of unhealthy relationships. And these issues only got worse when soon after taking the lead in the iCarly spin-off, Sam and Cat, which also starred Ariana Grande, her mother then dies of cancer. Now, finally, after discovering therapy and quitting acting, Jeanette embarks on a recovery and decides for the first time in her life what she really wants. Now, this book was told with like some really like cool dark humor, and it was refreshingly honest, okay? I'm Glad My Mom Died is an inspiring story of resilience, independence, and the joy of shampooing your own hair. Now, this book damn near broke me, okay? The psychological damage her mother did to her is heartbreaking, okay? Now, I knew iCarly intimately, thanks to my daughter. I know what was happening to her behind the scenes in what should have been her safe space. It's just too much for this mama to bear, okay? Children are not paychecks. Children are not tools for you to live the life you think you should have had through. It's cruel. It's sadistic. And there is a special place in hell for people that treat their kids this way. Now, we've talked about how parental alienation is a common problem with toxic parents. So what are some of the signs you need to watch out for in a toxic co-parenting situation, because they crop up a lot. And a lot of people don't realize that it is toxic. Now, firstly, they don't put the child's best interests first. Instead, they seem driven by what's in it for them or how they can use the situation to hurt the other parent. Gross. They gaslight you. A toxic co-parent tries to psychologically manipulate you into believing you are unreasonable or have done something wrong, when in fact, they are the ones creating most, if not all, of the problems. Sometimes this results in you questioning your sanity. Been there. They refuse to follow a schedule. A toxic co-parent often attempts to change the schedule to get more time with your child or ensure that you get less. Alternatively, they may not show up when they are supposed to or may arrive late, resulting in significant inconvenience to the other parent. Yeah, they've got blatant disregard for your time. They have complete disregard for whatever the parenting order or agreement says for visitation. Some may even try to schedule family vacations during your time and tell the children about them. They put your kids in the middle. Instead of communicating with you directly, and this happens too, a toxic co-parent asks your child to be the intermediary and communicator. No, get an app. Get an app, you big baby. They may also talk to your child about your parenting relationship. This can take lots of forms, okay? Including criticizing your parenting or trying to get the child to take a more adult role in this. And that's just not fair. They're kids, come on. They talk negatively to your child about you. That one is the grossest of all of them. The goal of a toxic co-parent is to turn your child against you, creating emotional distance between you and your child. And sometimes, this manifests as full-blown parental alienation, particularly if your co-parent is a skilled manipulator or they work in the court system, social services, police, that kind of thing. They give themselves this heightened sense of, I can do no wrong because I'm in the inner circle. They try to control what happens during your parenting time. A toxic co-parent often insists you implement rules or schedules that you do not believe to be in your child's best interest. They follow up with criticisms of how you parent or what you do with your child. They are hostile and abusive. A toxic co-parent frequently starts arguments, calls you names, treats you rudely, and does everything they can to show you how negatively they feel about you. And that's fine, but this is between A, grown up, and B, grown up, C, kids out of it. You know what I mean? They are manipulative. Very manipulative. A toxic co-parent may try to manipulate you to get what they want. They also may manipulate your child to get them to turn against you. And that's basically where we were talking about parental alienation. Now, manipulation can be psychological, emotional, financial, social, and spiritual. So it's important to stay really alert when it comes to this kind of stuff. Now, there are self-help books to help you navigate this, okay? If you're going through something like this, like maybe you didn't even know until you saw this video. So be prepared. There is some help out there, okay? So you can get Co-Parenting with a Toxic Ex by Amy Baker and Paul Fine. That book is phenomenal. Co-Parenting with a Toxic Ex by Tiffany Austin. I really enjoyed that one. That one's full of sticky dabs. Parallel Parenting, The Only Way to Co-Parent with a Narcissist by Wendy Carter. I've heard good things about it. I haven't read it yet. Parenting Together Apart for the Residential Parent by Brett Sembert. Okay. Parenting Together Apart for the Non-Residential Parent. Now, I don't know much about either of these books, but a psychologist actually recommended them, okay? Parenting with a Narcissistic Ex by Harmony Fielding. Now, that one was very good. I actually listened to the audiobook of that one. So don't give up. You can free yourself and your child. Now, if you're in Canada, you can go to parentalalienationcanada.org. They have some wonderful information on how to navigate the court system and resources to help guide you from there. Now, you'd think this would be a no-brainer. Like, you keep what goes on between adults, and you keep the kids out of it. But there are parents out there that can't do that. And I'm really hoping that you can get enough information from my videos that I can put you on the right path to healing and rebuilding some bridges between you and your kid. If you're having problems with a toxic ex, or maybe you're having problems connecting with your child and you don't know why, let me know in the comments. Let's have a chat. So following on with my Toxic People book series, I went onto Facebook and I asked for the best book recs that have narcissistic characters in them. And guys, I was not disappointed at all. I'm going to give you the top 10 books that came up, but just in case you don't know what a narcissist is, because let's face it, not everybody does, I'm just going to give you a quick overview. So think of it with the acronym Special Me. It will help you remember the 9 signs of NPD, which is Narcissistic Personality Disorder. Special Me, that's kind of how they feel about themselves anyway. Except for the covert ones, because they're a special breed altogether. So Special Me stands for sense of self-importance, preoccupation with power, beauty, or success, entitled. Can only be around people who they deem are also important or special in their eyes. Interpersonally exploitive for their own gain. It's always about what they can get. Arrogant. Lack empathy. Must be admired. Envious of others, or believe that others are envious of them. My God. These people are out there, like real people. So what books can we find that has these kinds of characters? So It Ends With Us by Colleen Hoover. The Younger Wife by Sally Hepworth. Yellowface by Rebecca Kwan. Under the Dome by Stephen King. Now that's a good one. A Ballad of Songbird and Snakes by Suzanne Collins. Another, that's a brilliant recommendation. The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith. Pictures of You by Emma Gray. Geek Love by Catherine Dunn. The Last Mrs. Parrish by Liv Constantine. The Swap by Robin Hardy. Do you happen to know a book that has a narcissist in it? I'm making a little collection right now. Or maybe you know one of these people in real life. The stories I could tell you. The stories I could tell. So why don't you let me know about yours in the comments below. Do you know what one of my favorite story arcs is? Especially when it comes in a thriller. It's when a liar weaves a narrative throughout the book, and the larger their web of bullshit is, the more the fallout happens when all their lies finally come undone and the truth is set free. Now, lies always find a way to make it to the light, and I love having the last laugh when the liar is finally seen for what they truly are. Pond scum! All the friends and family they lose because being dishonest was better in the short term. But my friends, karma has no expiration date. Now, do you need some real life tips on how to spot a liar? A change in speech patterns. The use of gestures that don't fit what they are saying. That's a big one. Not saying enough. Sometimes saying too much. An unusual rise or fall in vocal tone. The direction of their eyes. Telling the lie. Covering their mouth or eyes. Excessive fidgeting, especially nail and cuticle biting. Finger pointing, literally and figuratively. And when they tend to self-identify as being a good liar. Now you know you need the recs. So what are my top books with Liar Liar Pants on Fire? First Lie Wins by Ashley Elston. None of This is True by Lisa Jewell. One Big Happy Family by Janie Day. Count My Lies by Sophie Starbar. Big Little Lies by Leanne Moriarty. Shallow River by H.D. Carlton. Everyone Here is Lying by Sharee LaPenna. For Your Own Good by Samantha Downing. House of Glass by Sarah Panakin. Last One at the Wedding by Jason Rekulak. Do you like books where the evildoer finally meets justice in the end? I personally love it. Do you have any recs for me? Let me know in the comments. I know this week was a massive cluster F of epic proportions. It's a little fragmented. My hope was that I would piece it together a little better, but this house is so sick and it's just not worth trying to expel any kind of energy to make this cleaner than I managed to compile it. But as you can tell, like this week, It was a hard week for me just with my own family, but there were some outside forces that really triggered off my mama bear response. And it mostly involved around things that people are doing to kids, like trying to pretend that they are something better than they are and then lying about it. I don't like liars. I think there's a special place in hell for people who lie. And the problem is that somebody that was an adult said something that they shouldn't have to a child by text message, and I got very, very angry. And while I hope that it's been remedied now, it made me realize just how many people don't understand what parental alienation looks like, what flying monkeys do when the parental alienator is a narcissist, and how lies can impact and hurt people around them. And I wanted to bring it in a bookish way. And it may have made more sense as like different pieces of episodes. If you've been following me on TikTok, you would have seen me post all of the sections. But this way now, every thought that I had and every book that I recommended and the rationale behind why I was talking about it is all in one place. I know it doesn't really make up for the lack of a podcast episode yesterday, but I promise you, I've done most of the work on it now. And it will be here on Tuesday. I am really sorry. But sometimes family stuff gets right in the way. And I'm sure it's happened to you before where you haven't been able to do what you needed to do. If you have any questions about parental alienation, especially if you're in Canada, I have resources. And there are lots of lawyers that will take on these kinds of cases pro bono. Because believe it or not, parental alienation is considered child abuse. Separating a child from a loving parent because you feel justified to do that because you're upset. It's not about how that person was with you. It's about how good of a parent were they to the child. And yeah, I know sometimes that there are really bad parents out there, but 9 times out of 10, that's really not the case. And your divorce is between you and the other person. You don't put your children in the middle of it. And it made me very, very angry. But there are some book recommendations for you for getting over that, as you saw at the beginning of the episode. And then I moved into more fictional stuff, right? Like I always talked about Najet McCurdy and what having a toxic mother did to her. And I'm hoping that maybe somebody might see this and say, hey, maybe I have some toxic traits here. Maybe I should do better for my kids' sake. But then again, maybe not, because most of these people don't believe they're doing anything wrong. So anyway, that was my week in a nutshell. I'll try and act a little less crazy next week. Take care.